I wish I could say something that was classy and inspirational, but that just wouldn't be our style.
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
SportstownChicago.com. Lombard. Part of the Be On Air Network and available on the TuneIn app.
Hell yeah.
Broadcast home for your Windy City Bulls and the Chicago Dogs. We're in a league of our own. Now, here's your SportstownChicago.com scoreboard update.
I'm Brandon with your SportstownChicago.com update powered by the Illinois Media School. If interested in a career in media, go to BeOnAir.com. The first ejection under MLB's new foreign substance protocols occurred yesterday as Mariners Hector Santiago was ejected in the fifth inning of Game 1 against the White Sox. The game was a continuation of Saturday's game, and Santiago is now facing a possible 10-game suspension if he is found guilty of violating the rules. White Sox lost that continuation game 3-2 to the Mariners, but won Game 2 7-5 in seven innings. Sox host the Twins tonight to start a four-game set. First pitch at 7:10. Cubs lose to the Dodgers last night 7-1, dropping 3 of 4 in LA. They are now in Milwaukee to take on the first place Brewers tonight at 7:10. Brewers currently hold a 3-game lead in the NL Central. NBA playoffs. Bucks beat the Hawks last night 113-102 to take a 2-1 series lead. Trae Young, who suffered a sprained ankle during the game, will have an MRI today and be further evaluated. NBA playoffs continue tonight with Game 5 between the Suns and Clippers starting at 8. Suns lead the series 3-1. Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals is tonight at 7 as the reigning champion Lightning host the Montreal Canadiens, who had the fewest points among all of the playoff teams. And in golf, Harris English won the Travelers Championship, defeating Cramer Hickok in an 8-hole playoff. And this has been your SportstownChicago.com update, powered by the Illinois Media School. If you're interested in a career in media, go to BeOnAir.com.
The greatest sports talk radio show going today. That's right, Blow the Whistle. With your hosts, Brandon Stats Januska.
Craig Kimbrell. He did not have a good spring. Two innings pitched so far in both Saturday's and Sunday's game. Two innings, five strikeouts.
Tyler Butterball Buterball.
Can we just give a hand to Arterist that he has done more in within those 5 hours of trade deadline than Paxson and Foreman has ever done in their entire career with the Bulls?
And David Double D Dykstra.
And all of a sudden, Jordan Spieth has figured out his swing, ladies and gentlemen. And if Jordan goes on a tear, Jordan's Tiger-esque to the point where no one can beat him.
Hit us up on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at BlowTWhistle1. That's BlowTWhistle1.
And now, here's Brandon, Tyler, and David.
And welcome to Blow the Whistle, ladies and gentlemen, on a beautiful... It's Monday.
Yeah, it is. It is Monday.
I'm David Dykstra. I'm here with my boy
Brandon Januska.
And for some reason, Tyler can't get out from underneath that table. So we are without our boy Butterball, Tyler Buterball, today. Hope you feel better, buddy. We're thinking about you. Got a lot to go over. There's been a lot happening in this last week. We're gonna hit some Cubs. We're gonna hit some Sox, and then we're gonna talk. I know you're happy about this. We're going to talk a little NHL today. You ready to get this going, Brandon?
Yeah, let's dive right in.
All right. So first and foremost, Cubs lose 3 out of 4 to the Dodgers over their weekend. Is this a sign that the Cubs are trending downward? Hit us up on our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter at BlowTWhistle1. That's BlowTWhistle1. Let us know what your thoughts are. Brandon, what do you think? Are they trending downwards?
I don't think so. I think this is just a continuation of the fact that they, for some reason, whatever it is, they cannot win on the road right now. They're 16-23 on the road, 26-13 at home. huge difference in terms of whether they're at Wrigley or not. But obviously, if they want to have success, they're going to have to find ways to win some of these series. And I mean, the Dodgers aren't pushovers. They were struggling coming into this one, and the Cubs no-hit them in game one, that combined no-hitter first in Cubs history. But, and I mean, there was a lot of, oh, the Cubs could take this from the Dodgers. They're struggling. The Cubs just no-hit them. But then the Dodgers came to life in those last three games.
And let's just take a moment and just say, bravo, Cubbies, for that game one combined no-hitter. Boy, was it a struggle, though. Eight walks in that.
Yeah, eight walks, four different pitchers, each of them with at least one walk. Davies with five, and then the trio, that bullpen three-headed monster that the Cubs have.
Oh, and he just shuffled them out without thinking twice, yep. Ross did.
Tapera, so. Chafin, and Kimbrel. Each of them walked a batter as well, but unable to get through without a hit, obviously, as the game ended. As a no-hitter, all the guys in the bullpen said they didn't even know it was a no-hitter going on.
That was the best thing ever, to hear Kimbrel being interviewed after the game on ESPN going, if I could be completely honest, I had no idea that it was a no-hitter until Tapera said something to me as everybody was celebrating, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
That's being locked in and just not realizing.
Yeah, and I mean, if you go back and watch it, you can kind of tell with the final out. He's just takes the ball back, nonchalant, just his normal everyday save.
I remember him saying something like, yeah, I was kind of wondering why Contreras was celebrating so hard.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't even a safe situation. So, yeah, he really had no reason to celebrate other than the fact. And also, since you brought him up, congratulations to Contreras, who caught his first no-hitter in his career, because the last couple ones, Caratini caught one, Ross caught one, Montero caught one, and now Wilson Contreras has one of his own.
That's probably why it was so pumped up. Really hard for me to believe in all of Cubs history that there had never been a... That's crazy to me. That's impressive that in the entire Cubs history that there had never been a combined no-hitter.
Yeah, I believe that was the 17th no-hitter in Cubs history, but the very first to be a combined effort.
That's amazing, but unfortunately...
Yeah, but unfortunately, three more games after that.
Went downhill from... Well, I can't fault him for the loss last night. Kershaw was unconscious.
Yeah, Kershaw was lights out, and I mean, Alzolay did not have his best outing, obviously, and he'd be the first to admit home runs are still a struggle for him. It seems like every time out, he's given up at least one, more often two, sometimes three long balls each time he goes out there to start, so that's something to look at. He's still a young pitcher. He's a future for this staff, but that's something that he needs to figure out, get under control, he along with the rest of the staff. But yeah, that's...
Now, let me ask you this, Brandon. Do you believe that that is more him missing his spots or thinking that he can blow that fastball by hitters?
I think he's missing. He's missing his spots a lot of times when he's trying to get that put away pitch, because he is a strikeout guy. But yeah, for whatever reason, sometimes he's just leaving it out in the middle, and they're not missing.
No, they aren't. I saw the one yesterday, and it was a no doubter as soon as it went off the bat. Brings us to, we talked about the June swoon. Hey, I got it right.
Yay! Yes, you did. And June's almost over, Cubs.
But it really has been a June swoon for the Cubs. I think I had brought it up to you that they are batting a team combined 144 in the month of June. That is the worst in baseball, I believe. And that is just unacceptable.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I mean, yeah, the June... You look at the schedule coming into the season, really, you see who they had to play in June. I think everyone knew it was going to be a struggle to get get through this month having to play. You had two West Coast trips, one against the Giants and the Padres, and then this last one against the Dodgers. You also had the Padres at Wrigley. You had the Cardinals this month, and now it's going to close up with three in Milwaukee. So not an easy stretch by any means. And then you had the Marlins in there too, which was kind of the break, but the Cubs struggled with that one.
Hey, trends being trends, when you get into that slump, people start pressing and trying to make things happen that and chasing pitches that they normally wouldn't chase and just trying to make things happen to get themselves out of those slumps. So another little key issue, and I don't know if you've heard anything yet, Brandon. Rizzo did have to leave the game early yesterday. Once again, lower back issues plaguing our big man at first. Anything been updated with Rizzo as of yet?
Nothing that I saw. He's doubtful. He's listed as day-to-day. I doubt he'll be in the lineup for today's game. I have not seen a lineup yet. But, yeah, he's unlikely to play in today's game.
I would be surprised if he was in today's lineup, to be honest with you. But this all leads to coming out of this series, losing 3 out of 4 to the Dodgers. The Cubs are now 3 games out of first to the Milwaukee Brewers, who now have a 3-game set coming up today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Correct, Brandon?
Yes.
That being said, is this the series that determines whether or not the Cubs are buyers or sellers at the trade deadline?
I think it'll factor in. I don't think it's like the end-all, be-all that some people are putting it out as. I mean, obviously, if you get swept, it's not a good look. That puts you at 6 back. You're in second place. You'd be then tied, depending on what the Reds do. The Reds are currently 6 games back. They're in third place. So the Cubs, if they lose all 3, the Brewers have a 6-game lead over everyone in the division if that were to happen. It's tough to come back from that, but the Cubs also have kind of, at least on paper, the lighter part of their schedule coming up, where the Brewers have the opposite. They had kind of the lighter June and took advantage of it. So I don't want to say that even if the Cubs get swept, I don't think it'll be fire sale right away. Now, if they get swept and then the first week of July, it just continues that downward trend. Maybe they start to move some of the big guys, but I don't think they're right on the cusp right here.
Well, for me, it's coming down to the situation of if you're a buyer, that means you're in for this season.
Yes.
The only problem with that is there is no guarantee that your big three are going to be back next year.
Yeah, and honestly, I think the Cubs could benefit more in the future. I think they would benefit more in the future by trading away some of these guys. But at the same time, it's hard to convince your fan base. It's hard to convince your clubhouse even. Convince your players, hey, I know we're 3 games out of first right now, but we are planning for the future, so we're going to trade away some of these superstars and call it in.
Well, let me ask you this. With Rizzo's back issues, does that make him more of a tradable commodity than the other two?
I think it makes him harder to trade just because of the injuries and stuff. I know the Cubs lowballed him, at least in his opinion, earlier in the offseason. But with the back problems, I mean, they happen every year. Depending on how much time he were to miss, this is his second stint. He never had a stint on the IL, but it's his second point of missing some time because of that back issue. So it's one of those things that you know he's not going to play every day. Nobody plays every day nowadays anyway, but he's going to miss maybe 10 to 15 games a year with that back. And as he gets older, maybe that 10 to 15 becomes 20, 25, who knows? So I think that could lead to a discount. Obviously not as much of a discount as they were pitching him, but maybe he doesn't get that $100 million contract. He has to settle 85 to 90.
I'm truly starting to wonder if he doesn't have some sort of like tendonitis in his back, because it seems to be an issue. He seems to be stretching on a consistent basis. Moving forward from that, though, let's talk about what you expect from this three-game series, Brandon. I know what you're hoping for, but what do you expect?
I expect them to come out and put together a good series. I think they will come to play. Tonight is the key game with Hendricks going for the Cubs. This is the game that they expect to win in terms of the Cubs. I think the Cubs expect to win. Peralta's going for the Brewers. He's having a fine year himself, but with Hendricks out there, I think this is the game that, this is the game the Cubs have to win. And then they play Woodruff and then Corbin Burns. So the next 2 days, you really need to get this first one before you face the top two pitchers for the Brewers.
Okay, so we're looking for at least a win tonight and hoping for
hopefully two out of three. It'll be very difficult to sweep them, especially at their park. It's no longer Miller Park. It's American Family Field, I believe is what it is.
Wrigley North.
Wrigley North is the official term. Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Go with all my Cubs fans. Well, that is going to do it for the Cubs talk today. Coming up, a sticky situation showed up at the White Sox game yesterday. We talk about that here next on Blow the Whistle.
This is your home for sports. SportsTownChicago.com.
Joe's Hot Dogs has been around since 1953, but I promise it's not old news. You don't have to like hot dogs to like Joe's on Plainfield Road in Joliet. Italian beef, hot dogs, shakes, and sides. My family's had a relationship with Joe's Hot Dogs for three generations. Golden fries with a tad bit of salt and the perfect amount of crunch come in a bag as big as your hand. And that's just small. For more on the menu, visit joeshotdogsjoliet.com. Bringing that classic Chicago flavor to the suburbs. That's Joe's Hot Dogs across from CVS on Plainfield Road in Joliet.
At the football game, Jim shows the telltale signs of being wasted. He starts flexing for the camera. He refers to his muscles as gunboats. He screams, "How's this for a halftime show?" Jim streaks the field.
It's easy to tell if you've had way too many to drive. But what if you've had just one too many to drive? Never underestimate just a few. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and Windy City News Radio.
The Illinois Center for Broadcasting is now the Illinois Media School. We've been an institution in the Chicagoland area now for 30 years. Because the broadcasting world is always changing, so are we. Not only are we teaching radio and television production, but now you can learn all aspects of the media industry, like web design. You can even specialize in TV or film, sports broadcasting, and even sales. No matter where you are in the Chicagoland area, we have a campus near you. The Illinois Media School. Be on TV, be on radio, beonair.com.
That was money. Tell me that wasn't money.
Yo, check us out. We are the go-to guys. I'm your boy Space.
I'm your boy MC.
Check us out every Thursday
from 4 to 5 p.m.
We spitting all facts, all sports, all day.
Yes, sir. Who else are you going to go to in the clutch?
Lillard, long range three. And it's good!
Keeping you up to date with all the latest sports news.
We are
the go-to guys.
Where else are you going to get all your sports news from?
You know.
SportsTownChicago.com.
Maybe there's something that can scrape the baseball and get extra movement, but it would appear that something was untoward in the glove of Hector Santiago, who can't believe it.
We have our first culprit of the new system of checking pitchers. Hector Santiago has been thrown out of the ballgame.
0-2 to second base, and that will do it. Liam Hendricks saves the game, 7-5, your final, and the Sox do salvage a split.
Highlights courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago. June Swoon in Chicago, ladies and gentlemen. Both the Cubs and Sox struggling, but we're going to focus on the south side of town right now. I don't know what to... I know Seattle came in kind of hot and just took it to the White Sox this weekend, but I guess the question I'm going to send out to our listeners, Brandon, and then I'll come to you. Do you think that the injuries for the White Sox are starting to catch up to them? Hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at BlowTWhistle1. That's BlowTWhistle1. And let us know what you think. Brandon, are the injuries catching up with the White Sox, do you believe?
Yeah, I definitely think they are. I think that's a huge issue right now for the team, especially, I mean, Eloy was a big issue. He's been out the whole year. Robert is out as well. But I think the biggest one that hit them hard was the loss of Madrigal recently.
Yeah, he was playing great baseball. It was a definite blow to them. My one big statistic that always sticks in my head was that they've had not five, not 10, but 14 different people playing in the outfield this year alone.
Yeah, and a lot of those are infielders or natural infielders, guys that probably wouldn't be out there without the injury situation that they have right now. And I mean, it's contributing a lot. They are 26th in the league. They're tied with the Royals, four from the bottom in terms of home runs. And I think the jumping around and then losing some of those power bats is a big contributor to that. The fact that they just aren't hitting the long ball. A team that coming in was looked at as one of the most powerful lineups from top to bottom. With the loss of a lot of these guys, the power just hasn't been there. And not saying you need to be all long ball or nothing, because, I mean, a lot of that's what the league is a lot of right now. But, I mean, it is contributing the fact that they are needing multiple hits to drive in runs right now. And at least right now, they're not getting it, losing seven of their last 10.
Well, and not to be rude or anything, but that starting rotation could not have... you just can't expect them to maintain the excellence that they've been on for that first quarter of the year or half of the year, getting close to half of the year. At some point, it's going to... I'm not going to say drop crazy, but drop a little bit more to where they're giving up... You know, that starting rotation is going to start giving up 2 to 3 runs a game instead of just... one or no runs for the innings that they pitch. They've still been really good. It's just that offense isn't going along with those great starts that they're getting.
And then the bullpen's been an issue as well, up and down. We've talked about that before, how Hendricks is really the only guy La Russa can really trust out there right now. But yeah, you mentioned the starters. They still have the best ERA in the American League, fourth best in all of baseball at a 3.15 ERA. For their starting pitchers. So they are doing their job, even though, like you said, they've fallen off a little bit from where they were, which is going to happen.
But you don't expect that to maintain throughout. That would be an unbelievably crazy scenario for that to stay true for an entire season. It just, I shouldn't say never, but it typically does not happen.
Yeah, and I mean, part of that could be the fact that they've also thrown the fourth most innings starting pitching has. And so they're starting to get worn down a little bit because, like we said, La Russa can't really trust a lot of these guys in the bullpen to hold that lead. But with all of that, all these
that
struggles...
That wasn't even the biggest story of the weekend. Yeah. Like, them losing 2 out of 3 wasn't even the biggest story.
Yeah. And they're still in first place,
and
too. That's the other thing.
Place.
They're up by 2.5 games. But what was the biggest story?
Well... somebody finally got ejected yesterday for foreign substance. Santiago becomes the first pitcher to be ejected for a foreign substance. Now, he claims and continues to claim that he is innocent. But I through listening and everything like that, it doesn't just have to be a foreign substance. It could be like a popped up rivet on the glove that the pitcher can just find and rub that ball with just to get a little more grip. It, he sustains that it was a collection of sweat and resin inside of his glove that caused the quote unquote foreign substance. What's your belief there, Brandon?
Yeah, I mean, he's claiming, and the team is backing him up right now, yeah, that it wasn't anything illegal, anything against the rules. So I'm kind of leaning toward him because it's under investigation. I don't think if he believed that he actually did violate it, I think he would just come out and say it, because the glove is being sent. It should be there already. It's being examined in New York today.
Oh, yeah. It was like CSI Miami all up in there yesterday when they took that glove. It went straight into a bag, got wrapped up, sealed up, and got shipped. So I guess my question, Brandon, is do these umpires need to be more cognizant of the pitchers using the resin bag more now that this foreign substance policy is in place, and take into account for there being maybe some resin buildup or something like that?
I think so, because if that is what it turns out that it was, then that is an issue, because you're ejecting a guy from the game. Obviously, you won't serve the 10-game suspension, but you pulled the pitcher from the game in the fifth inning. They ended up winning that game, but that plays factors. That could factor into future games if you're doing that, depending on who's getting tossed and all of that. So it's a big issue, and I think they need to clarify and just kind of buckle down even more on exactly how they're going to monitor it, what they're monitoring, because he Santiago said that he was told that it was because it was on his glove hand. Like, the rosin or resin is okay on the pitching hand, but if it's on the glove hand, that's when it could be considered an issue. And so I think there just needs to be more clarity still onto exactly what's allowed.
I guess my question to you, though, Brandon, is that, okay, you hit the rosin bag with your throwing hand, but then you tuck your glove underneath your armpit, take off your glove, and you're rubbing the ball with both hands,
yeah,
like most pitchers do. Resin's going to get on that glove hand.
Yeah, definitely. There's no way some of it is not going to get there, and then you stick that hand back in the glove, and now it's in the glove. So, yeah, it's, again, I just think it's something that I wasn't for implementing the rules mid-season anyway. But yeah, I think that's just something that they need to continue to monitor going forward and just really figure out exactly what they want to call, what they want to allow or disallow.
Well, and like you said, it has such a ramification for the team that gets caught and the pitcher that gets caught, because you get suspended for 10 games without pay, but your roster spot cannot be filled. So yeah, that's a huge thing for a baseball team. So I'm sure, like, every team's been like, I swear on all that is good in the world, you better not get caught. But once again, time will tell. Once everything's analyzed and taken through all the samples and gotten all the samples, we'll find out exactly what was in that glove. It was just interesting. Of course, it would have to happen to a Chicago team
against the Chicago team. Yeah.
For us to sit here and talk about it. There is another rumor going around with the White Sox that they are in negotiations as we speak with the Arizona Diamondbacks for second baseman or shortstop.
Yeah, he's played mostly third this year, but they would probably use him as a second baseman.
Escobar of the Diamondbacks. What do you think of this trade for the White Sox?
I think it'll fit. I mean, we were just talking about how I thought that the Madrigal injury was kind of the biggest factor that they are feeling right now. And so that's why I believe that they'd put Eduardo Escobar Yeah, at second base, if they brought him in, he's a power bat right now. He had a little bit of a rough time early in May, but since then, he's turned it on. He's got 17 home runs right now. That's something that Madrigal definitely wasn't going to put up, but Madrigal was leading the team in hits. He's got a respectable average in the 250 range, so he's a guy that offensively will contribute, and as I said, he's been playing third base mostly this year. So that's more flexibility if injuries continue to pile up. And what might be most important, he's on his last year of his deal, because once all those other guys start coming back, the injured players, Madrigal coming back next season and everything, it's Madrigal's spot at second. You only need Escobar if you get him for the rest of this year. And that's exactly what he is on his current contract.
I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and lie. I mean, if I'm Escobar, I'm praying for this trade, actually, because then you're playing relevant baseball in the late season. Yeah. Only time will tell. If the White Sox continue to play the way they are, only time's going to tell. They said the deal is close, so I'm sure we'll hear some point this week that is a pulled trade and has gotten done. It's, I think, minor details at this point.
Yeah, and he'd be going back to the team that originally signed him out of Venezuela. Oh, he was signed as an international prospect by the White Sox.
Shocker, the White Sox and their international prospects once again.
He only played about 45 games with them before he was traded away, but hey, that going back to the team that signed him.
Absolutely. Well, that'll do it for White Sox, but guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It is that time. Absolutely that time in the show where we talk about what was killing you welcome to
Rewind.
Monday. Welcome to Monday. What had you saying, you're killing me Smalls this week? And if you had a you're killing me Smalls, hit us up on our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at BlowTWhistle1. That's BlowTWhistle1. But first, here's Brandon with a sports update.
Back to your home for sports. SportsTownChicago.com. Scoreboard update.
Here's Brandon with your SportsTownChicago.com update powered by the Illinois Media School. If interested in a career in media, go to BeOnAir.com. The first ejection under MLB's new foreign substance protocols occurred yesterday as Mariners' Hector Santiago was ejected in the fifth inning of Game 1 against the White Sox. The game was a continuation of Saturday's game, and Santiago is now facing a possible 10-game suspension if he is found guilty of violating the rules. White Sox lost that continuation game 3-2 against the Mariners, but won the second game 7-5 in seven innings. Sox host the Twins tonight to start a four-game set. First pitch is at 7:10. Cubs lose to the Dodgers last night 7-1, dropping 3 of 4 in LA. They're in Milwaukee to take on the first-place Brewers tonight at 7:10. Brewers currently hold a three-game lead in the NL Central. NBA playoffs, Bucks beat the Hawks last night 113-102 to take a 2-1 series lead. Trae Young, who suffered a sprained ankle during the game, had an MRI today and revealed that he suffered a bone bruise in his foot. He is questionable for Game 4. The NBA playoffs continue tonight with Game 5 between the Suns and Clippers starting at 8. Suns lead the series 3-1. Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals is tonight at 7 as the reigning champion Lightning hosts the Montreal Canadiens, who had the fewest points among playoff teams. And in golf, Harris English won the Travelers Championship, defeating Kramer Hickok in an 8-hole playoff. And this has been your SportsTownChicago.com update, powered by the Illinois Media School. If interested in a career in media, go to BeOnAir.com.
This is your home for sports.
Red left.
SportsTownChicago.com.
Take that exit and get to the Southern Cafe, home of the Nasty Biscuit on Roselle Road in Roselle. Get over there and try the chicken fried chicken biscuit made with the Southern Cafe's house-made drop biscuit with buttermilk chicken fried chicken smothered in country gravy, topped with shredded cheddar and crumbled hickory smoked bacon. I always say that when you go to the Southern Cafe, you come out with two meals with the heaping amounts of food they serve you in every meal. I love to go to a place with outdoor seating. The Southern Cafe has a great outdoor seating area to help social distance, and I get to enjoy my breakfast outdoors. Open 6:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. to give you plenty of time to grab an amazing breakfast or lunch. Now get your butt over to the Southern Cafe on Roselle Road.
Hello?
It's speed walking day.
Dorothy, you're breaking up.
Did I mention we'd be slowing down when we pass the court where those fine brothers play ball?
I heard that.
Reduce your risk of cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and stroke. Get active, eat right, and maybe even run into Mr. Right. Isn't sisterhood beautiful? For more information, go to everydaychoices.org. Brought to you by the American Cancer Society, the American Diabetes Association, the American Heart Association, the Ad Council, and this station.
Alert! Alert! Be gone, maxed out credit cards, overdue loans, suffocating interest rates, and relentless collection agencies. If your credit rating is making you and others around you cringe, there's only one thing to do, and that's to turn to the professionals at Creative Credit Solutions. Even if your credit is less than perfect, we'll help you get back on track. You can do it, and we can help. Call today or visit creativecreditsolutions.net for your free credit check report.
Blow the whistle on SportstownChicago.com. Mondays and Fridays from 2 to 3 p.m. as we talk NFL.
The game plan was really sound.
In the quarterback league, it has been, it still is.
Franchise-defining quarterbacks.
College football.
Will Jim Harbaugh make it through the season as Michigan's head coach?
Some more Big Ten talk.
And here's some things you wouldn't expect.
I would have never expected that.
Get all of that and more on Blow the Whistle on SportstownChicago.com.
You're killing me, Smalls!
That's right, it's time again for the greatest segment in all of sports radio, or radio period, darn it. It's time for You're Killing Me, Smalls. And once again, if you have a moment, a statement, anything that has had you throughout the week going, You're Killing Me, Smalls, hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Blow T Whistle 1. That's BLOWTWHISTLE 1. You know what? I'm going to go first.
All right.
I'm going to go first. My You're Killing Me Smalls goes out to Mr. Clutch, Mr. Brings It to the Table All the Time, Mr. Paul George. Oh, wait. No, that's not Mr. Clutch. I completely forgot. Dude. Game two, you have two free throws to seal the deal. Clank, clank. And again, game four comes around. You're down. Granted, you're down. And Chris Paul misses his first free throw in 35 attempts. You are now at the line to get your team within two. Or no, scratch that. Get your team within one. And you clank, clank again. I don't care how many points you score during a game, Paul George. I don't care how many. You could score 53 points a game and average an outstanding triple-double every game. But when it's time for the nitty-gritty and it's time for you to do what you do, you choke. Every single time when it matters. So, until you become Mr. Reliability, well, you are Mr. Reliability, but it's in a bad way that you're Mr. Reliability. You clank when you shouldn't be clanking. You should hit those free throws. Until that happens, I've got the Clippers going away quickly because that's all they got is Paul George. They don't have, unless Terrence Mann decides to play out of his head again, or somebody else decides to, that's all they've got is Paul George hopefully carrying him to the finals, and I don't see that happening with the Suns. But anyway, Paul George, for completely and utterly encapsulating the choke mentality that you have after last year and now again this year when you miss free throws to get your team to either a 2-2 or extend it the game even further, all I gotta say to you is,
you're killing me, Smalls.
It just amazes me. When the pressure is on, that is the guy I do not want to have the ball at all. It's gotten to the point of ridiculousness.
He just, yeah, can't do it.
No, I don't know if the moment's too big for him or what, but like to miss free throws like that is just, and especially after in game four, especially after Chris Paul is on the line and has hit 35 free throws in a row and back ends one and finally misses, which is bound to happen sooner or later. And you have a moment that you can, because they're going to foul you and not let you get off a 3-point shot to try and win the game or tie the game. They're going to foul you before you even get a shot off. So you know you're going to the line.
Yeah.
And you still can't come through in the clutch. Ugh. Aggravating, especially for Clippers fans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right, so on to mine.
Oh,
and
I'm excited.
I had a couple that I was toying between. I mean, if you watch that Cubs-Dodgers series over the weekend, there were some instances, some reverse calls and things that I could have gone after. But I decided I'd go with one that I had from earlier in the week, and I'd stick with it. I'm going to stick to what I had. But we're staying in the baseball trend because, of course, it is me.
It is Brandon.
It is still me that we're talking about. And instead of going after umpires or a specific team or something, I'm just going to go after Major League Baseball because I've done that before.
Oh, yeah. This is true.
For those of you that have not seen, Major League Baseball put out new All-Star Game jerseys. And if you have not seen them yet, you're lucky because they are not good. They are not. They are horrible. They're so plain. Like, this is the MLB All-Star Game. Like, you're showcasing all your best players. Why not just stick with them wearing their own jerseys? Or they have, like, the national and American jerseys, the All-Star jerseys you can get. But no, they decide, we're going to change them. We're going to go with, it's just basically the logo. And then, like, their abbreviation in the corner, the logo, and it's just a plain, either white or colored jersey. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. It's super plain. The hats are actually kind of cool.
The hats are cool. I will agree with you there. But, yeah, the uniforms are just...
Yeah, I would buy the hat. But the jerseys, it's either navy blue or it's just the white, and it's just not good. It's terrible. That's the best you can come up with? Like, come on. This is a $1 billion, if not more than billions, who knows, organization, like league. Oh, yeah. Like, look at what you guys are paying the players, and this is what you guys come up with for the All-Star Game to showcase your best players. And this after not having an All-Star Game last year. So, I mean, there's already a ton of talk about the All-Star Game and after it was moved from Atlanta and everything. And now to throw this on top of it, it's the All-Star Game's just becoming a joke right now in Major League Baseball. And so for that, Major League Baseball, for just adding another thing to yell at you about in terms of this MLB All-Star Game, for that, MLB...
You're killing me, Smalls!
Here's a thought, Major League Baseball. Why not just let them wear their alternative uniforms that everybody designed this year? The White Sox uniform.
The City Editions.
City Editions. Those are all, from what I've seen, they've all been pretty bad apples. Why not let them wear those uniforms to get a little more publicity out there for those alternative uniforms? They're cool. They're a lot of fun. And from what I understand, people have been really down to wear them. So why not just go with those?
Yeah, I would be perfectly fine with that. It's a different jersey. And it, like you said, it was designed specifically for each team. And from what I've seen, like you said, I like the look of a lot of them.
Yeah, and we bagged on the Wrigleyville one until we saw the full thing. And then we were like, okay, that is sharp.
Yeah, I like
that. That's sharp. But it just makes too much sense. Once again, Major League Baseball, not making much sense. going, oh, we're going to design our own, and that's the best you can come up with. Yeah, that definitely deserves a You're Killing Me Smalls, because that... Those uniforms, like you said, though, the hats are nice.
I would
They're
buy
sweet.
The hat. I would
They're
buy nice. The hats.
And I'm a hat guy, so
there you go.
You know, I always look to see what the hats are. I like unique hats. I like cool hats like that. But once again, Major League Baseball drops the ball when it comes to designing something cool or something unique for a big event that could make them even more money.
Yeah,
go figure. You know, you'd kind of want that. But once again, we're just going to go plain Jane because it's the easiest way to go, and we don't want anybody to really stand out and blah, 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 blah. Or here's another thought. Just ask the player, hey, what's your favorite uniform to wear? Wear that. If it's the Philly baby blue for Bryce Harper, let him wear that. If it's the camo for Tatis, let him wear that. Just whatever your favorite uniform is to wear for your team, there you go.
Yeah, and we actually just got one sent in. Guess who?
Oh, did he come out of the table?
Yes. No, it was not Tyler.
It was
KB Mac.
Ah,
that's right.
My boy.
Yes, and he says he's going to send his to the NBA officials. Be thankful Trey hurt his ankle and the Bucks won big. PJ Tucker, 3-point shot in third, was touched by Giannis. Best case is a lob and 2 points. Worst case, it should have been basket interference. Points were never taken away.
Yep.
And for that, NBA officials.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Well, that's going to do it, unfortunately, for the best segment in all of radio. You're Killing Me, Smalls. Once again, if you still have a You're Killing Me, Smalls moment and you haven't hit us up yet, still send them in. We'll read them off next time. Hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at BlowTWhistle1. That's BlowTWhistle1. Well, in the NHL, will a almost 30-year streak be broken in the finals? We talk about that here next on Blow the Whistle.
This is your home for sports.
Longtime fan. Sports is like life.
SportstownChicago.com.
What's up, Chicago? If you're ever, and I mean ever, out looking for good urban food 24-7, come down to White Palace Grill located 1159 South Canal Street in Chicago. White Palace Grill is open 365 days a year since 1939. I personally love the steak and egg dinner, but whether you like burgers for breakfast, steak for lunch, or French toast for dinner, White Palace is the place for you. The diner is a 24-hour urban oasis. Come now, come later. Heck, come now and later. We never close at White Palace Grill located 1159 South Canal Street in Chicago. Visit us at whitepalace.com or order with Uber Eats or Grubhub anytime, any day.
Daddy, when you look at me, I could see your wheels turning. About what am I going to be when I grow up? A major league first baseman? Maybe a point guard for a national champion.
The odds of a child becoming a professional athlete are 1 in 16,000. Far-fetched? Maybe. But did you know the odds of a child being diagnosed with autism are 1 in 166? That's right, 1 in 166. To learn the signs of autism, go to autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Go to Lux Barbershop for the best barbers and stylists in Plainfield, Illinois. I go there when I have an important event, date, or I just want to look good. The straight razor shave will have you looking fresh and smooth. Lux Barbershop is open 7 days a week. Go to Lux Barbershop for the finest barbers, stylists, braiders, and massage therapists in the southern suburbs. Check out all their daily deals on Facebook, Instagram, and LuxBarbershop.com.
Hi, this is Joe Perry.
And Steven Tyler of Aerosmith for Red. You know, it's okay to rock and roll and party down. Just don't get in that 2,000-pound bullet when you're done and cocked. And please don't drink and drive.
I'm the one that jaded you.
A reminder that friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
The Chicago Dogs are back on SportsTownChicago.com. Tune into the season opener against the Sioux City Explorers Friday, May 28th at Impact Field in Rosemont.
First pitch at 7:05 p.m.
Hear all the action right here
on SportsTownChicago.com.
Stanley Cup Final.
courtesy of those highlights to NBC Sports. Well, I got a question, and I'll come to you right away after I ask this of our listeners. Do you believe Montreal can ride Carey Price to the Stanley Cup and beat the Tampa Bay Lightning? Hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at BlowTWhistle1. That's BlowTWhistle1. And let us know what you think. Brandon, you are our NHL guru. Your thoughts on my question?
I think they have to.
That's kind of where I was thinking too, but I wanted to ask.
Yeah, if they're going to have success, it's going to be riding Carey Price the whole way, because he is their guy. He is the guy that's going to get them there. He's never won a cup. He's had arguably a Hall of Fame career to this point. A cup? That might just be the cherry on top for his case. And, I mean, Vasilevsky, if he can win one this year again, win two in a row, he's a borderline Hall of Famer right now, too. And he's a lot younger. He could get there as well, that being Tampa's goalie, Andrei Vasilevsky. This is going to be a battle of two of the top goalkeepers in hockey right now.
So you're saying don't expect 7-6?
Probably not. I mean, these two, both guys having incredible postseason runs right now and very close in terms of their statistics as well. Price, a .935 save percentage all around in all situations. Vasilevsky, a .936. And Price, a 2.02 goals against average. Vasilevsky, a 1.98. So Vasilevsky has actually been slightly better than Carey Price, which, after seeing everything Price has done, that's incredible.
Yeah. But I think it's more the fact that there are other superstars on Tampa Bay other than the goalie, so you don't typically pay attention to necessarily what the goalie's doing on Tampa Bay as you would as much as you do with Montreal, because Price has been the guy since the playoffs began and has been raved about since. But now you got Cole Caulfield coming out, and kid from Wisconsin coming out and starting to show his superstardom. My question to you, Brandon, did the Islanders maybe give Montreal a blueprint to how to make this a tough series for Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I mean, Tampa Bay showed a little bit of weakness. They didn't break, but they bent a little bit in that game, in that series against New York. Islanders, a very physical team. Montreal could try to implement a similar thing. Their top skating line in Deneau and Gallagher, Brendan Gallagher and Philip Deneau, those two guys, they're forwards, but they are one of the top defensive lines in the NHL. And right now in the postseason, those two guys are shutting down opponents from the offensive line. They're the offensive team, but they're the ones that go out there if they need to win a defensive zone, a defensive faceoff. If they need to win a draw in their own end, that's who's out there. They're the ones skating against the top lines typically for the opposing team. They shut down the Austin Matthews line for the most part in that series, that first series against Toronto. And I mean, that is going to be a key line to look out for.
That is one of the keys for you, is that line versus the first line.
Shutting down specifically Braden Point.
Yeah.
Braden Point, his 9-game goal streak came to an end. He did not score in Game 7 against the Islanders, but he still leads the postseason in scoring for the second straight year. He led last year as well. He has 14 goals in 18 games.
That's outrageous. That's crazy to even think about. But you're right. You even said it in the Islanders series with Tampa Bay that if they shut down that first line,
Stamkos, Point,
that the Islanders have a chance. But it's easier said than done, as you said. So if they can do that, I know I'm rooting for Montreal just because what 1993 did we say was the last time a Canadian team had won the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, the 92-93 season, and that Canadian team was the Montreal Canadiens.
So it's been almost 30 years since a Canadian team has won the Stanley Cup. That is crazy to think about, seeing how you could very easily consider hockey the national pastime of Canada.
Yeah.
So that being said, go Canadians, eh? But it's not going to be easy.
No, it's not. And I mean, we talked about, you even brought him up, Cole Caulfield. He's going to have to be a key for the Canadians. He's had at least 1 point in seven of the Canadians' last eight games, and he's scored in four of the last six. So
he's so good.
Yeah, and he's good. So he's good. Hot right now. He's going to be a guy to look out for in this series as well. I mean, ultimately, it's going to come down to Price and Vasilevsky, but all those other factors, those two are kind of going to wash each other out, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's you believe that'll be a wash and it'll all come down?
I think
down
so. I mean, if one of them makes a mistake, that could cost the series because those two guys are playing at the top of their game right now, and so it's going to be the offense, either a defensive lapse, a breakaway chance for an offensive player, or just great movement of the puck and finding ways to screen these two goalkeepers.
All right. I guess it comes down to this, ladies and gentlemen. Drum roll, please. Brandon, I know who you want to win. Who do you think's going to win?
I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to stick with the Canadians. I think it's going to be tough, obviously, and Tampa Bay still has not lost two in a row. They have not since 2019, but I'm going to go with Montreal. I think Montreal, I mean, it's hard to say that they want it more, but they need it more. They need to win this. They're the underdog. They've been playing that underdog role this whole way through, and I think they're just having fun right now. They're not playing with any pressure on them like Tampa Bay is. And so I think Cole Caulfield is going to be kind of an X factor in this. I think that Deneau and Gallagher line, they're going to be able to find ways to continue their success. And I think it goes six or seven games. But I think it's going to be Carey Price finally lifting and getting his name on Lord Stanley. I think they continue this run. Remember, the Canadians came in with the least amount of points out of every playoff team this season, and they were down 3-1 to Toronto. It looked like it was over. They've gone 11-2 since then, since game five of that first round, 11-2.
I love the whole mall rats mentality. Like you even said, they're not even supposed to be here.
Yeah,
but they are, and they've made the most of their opportunity. I'm going to stick my neck out as well and say Canadians in seven. I think it goes all seven games, but I do think something's going to happen that hasn't happened to the Lightning in a very long time. I think they go in leading 3-2 in game six and lose the next two.
Okay.
I think they lose the last two games to lose their first two in a row in the 2 years.
All right.
And
I think
it'll be led by Carey Price, like you said,
Yeah, low scoring games is definitely my prediction throughout this.
Absolutely. Well, unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today, because we're only doing an hour show today because I've got obligations outside of the radio that I've got to attend to today. And Tyler was unfortunately unable to be here. And, you know, Brandon can't do this without us. So.
let's not go
that's
there.
That's a joke, ladies and gentlemen. He totally could. But next Monday, we will not be here due to celebrating 4th of July on Monday. The school will not be open, so you're going to have to go a week without hearing our melodious voices, unfortunately.
Yeah, And real quick, KB Mack chimed in on our hockey talk as well. And in terms of the Canadians, he said, absolutely they can. The same way you ride hot pitching in October, you can ride a hot goalie in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Problem is, Tampa has a guy in their net that they can ride too, which it brings it down to whose sticks you trust. Yeah, and he says he'd go with Tampa.
All right, and that's what most people are going to go with is Tampa because they are the favorite. Well, like I was saying, if you like what you heard, if you like what we had to say, or if you didn't, let us know. Hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at BlowTWhistle1. That's BlowTWhistle1. If you happen to miss the show, how dare you? But you can catch it on Anchor or Spotify at BlowTWhistle. Or is it Blow the Whistle? Is it Blow T Whistle?
Spotify, it's just called Blow the Whistle. Yeah. See,
I'm learning stuff every day. There you go. I should know this stuff, but it's Monday. So that's what I'm going to chalk it up to. For me, David Dykstra.
Brandon Januska.
Everybody have a great week. Have a safe, safe holiday weekend. And we will see you next time here on Blow the Whistle.
This is your home for sports.
This is the best fans in the world.
No better team.
SportsTownChicago.com.